Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. My name is Patricia Modis. I'm the Transitions OT, and I'm your host. So I'm very excited to introduce you to today's guest of honor, Lisa Kern. Lisa is an uncommon OT who is a holistic therapist, wellness coach, and Reiki practitioner. Lisa has a master's degree in occupational therapy and a bachelor's in science from American International College. After working for 10 plus years as an occupational therapist specializing in neurological rehab, she chose to follow her passion and true purpose, and that is working as a holistic health and wellness coach, empowering others to live their happiest and healthiest life. She is now focused on building a brand to empower others to optimize healing from the inside out, addressing body, mind, and soul. As a multi-passionate entrepreneur, Lisa also holds certifications as a brain injury specialist, a yoga instructor, a Reiki practitioner, and is co-founder of Work Your Motor, M-O-T-O-R, an online home exercise program for stroke survivors. Lisa currently lives in Western Massachusetts with her husband and two children, Will and Gavin. And in her free time, she loves to read, write, spend time with family, and go for hikes. So without further ado, I'd like to present to you Lisa Kern. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Hi, Patricia. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh my goodness, I'm honored. Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Oh, we are so excited to hear about your uncommon OT work. We haven't had any episodes focused on individuals who are Reiki practitioners. So I'm, you know, particularly interested in that.
Oh, and awesome.
I know that you also have a few other things OT-wise that you are working on or are in the process of launching. So we want to hear about some of those things too. And but before, let's talk a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about Lisa.
All right. Thanks for that intro. So I'm Lisa. I've been an occupational therapist for about 12 years now. Prior to that, I was actually a CODA for 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah, I absolutely love our profession. It's so diverse. Can never get bored, right?
Yes.
So as you mentioned, I'm also the owner of Healthy, Holistic, Happy, which is my holistic practice where I work as an energy healer, Reiki practitioner, typically kind of life coaching, helping women find more balance and peace in their lives. I definitely kind of bore easily, aka multi-passionate is probably a nicer way to say that.
I love that.
Multi-passionate. So yeah, I also have a couple different hats. I'm a yoga instructor, brain injury specialist, as you mentioned, and recently published author.
Congratulations. We want to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, kind of one of my other passions alongside the blog has just kind of been writing. It's always been a creative outlet for me, kind of my therapy. And yeah, this year I was fortunate enough to be a co-author in two different books. Fearless, which is kind of a women's personal development book, transforming fear into courage within relationships, society, self. And the second book that just came out last month is called Mama's Gotta Grow, which is another kind of personal development book, not a parenting how-to, more of a you can kind of heard stories of we're all in this together and kind of putting yourself first.
Got it. I love how that intertwines with your holistic practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else?
You also mentioned that you you were a brain injury specialist and also a co-founder of a practice where you serve individuals who have had strokes.
Yes. Work Your Motor. So MOTOR is an acronym for Motivating Occupational Therapist Optimizing Rehab. Ah. So myself and co-founder Amy Pace, who's another wonderful occupational therapist, kind of just identified a gap in the healthcare model that we kind of, we call them frequent flyers. You know, you discharge and then they end up back in your care several months later. So we kind of found, primarily with neurological folks, stroke specifically is what we focused on, that they just kind of lacked the motivation to carry on their home exercise program. So we created a home exercise program video series, not just with us as occupational therapists, but other individuals who have also had a stroke. So they can see somebody on screen, maybe with their limitations, that are doing the exercises in various degrees of modifications.
I love it.
Yeah. So we include upper body strengthening, passive range of motion, lower body strengthening, a core workout, and then seven minute functional hand series with common household items. So all of those are online. It used to be a subscription model, but we really wanted it to be accessible for everybody. So right now it just kind of lives on YouTube. Under Work Your Motor, and those, it's just a free resource. It's actually a great resource for students too, if they're need exercise ideas or modifications.
Yes, I love it. We're going to include those links on our show notes to make sure that people have access to them.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So thanks for sharing all that about yourself. What motivated you to do this type or these types of OT? Uncommon OT work?
Oh gosh. I think kind of stepping outside of the box, I always just aspired to, I don't want to say not conform because that doesn't sound good, but I just always felt kind of a little constricted in traditional healthcare, you know, by time constraints or insurance protocols. And I think just kind of sharing with others that we can step outside of the box a little bit kind of gives us that flexibility to create, because as occupational therapists, we're super creative and we're professional problem solvers.
Yes, and we are.
Yeah, I think those different roles have led me to not feel as constrained in my practice. Specifically in my Reiki practice, I just feel the connection is so deep and so profound. Versus in a hospital setting, if you're kind of looking at your watch and saying, oh man, we really got in this deep conversation and now it's time for you to go.
Yes.
You know, we just, it's just a deeper level of connection without having to answer to insurance, you know, oh, can I bill for this or
constraints?
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. So can you talk to us a little bit more about the setting in which you provide the Uncommon OT services?
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of mentioned I have two uncommon roles. So I'll speak to the more traditional occupational therapy role that I have. 3 days a week, I work in an outpatient interdisciplinary setting. So I'm the occupational therapist. We have a physical therapist, a couple of PTs, PTAs, a chiropractor, physician. And in this role, I work as a brain injury specialist, primarily with individuals who are recovering from concussions. These folks are primarily struggling with headaches, sensory processing difficulties, need a lot of help with their IADLs due to memory and concentration deficits. So that's pretty busy. And in my role outside of the medical model, where I work as a Reiki practitioner and holistic coach, that was a nice transition because I feel kind of like as occupational therapists, we're the original life coaches, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. I use energy work in a therapeutic way to help people get to the root cause of why they may be feeling stuck or sick. Yeah.
Got it. I love it. I love that you're able to do both.
Me too.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. So was there anything in particular that drew you or inspired you to do this type of work?
Yeah, I kind of think I always had this intuitive nudge because for years and years, I would kind of catch myself saying, when I work in preventative care, And I had no idea how I would get there, but I just knew that, I loved rehab. I still do. I don't think I'll ever leave rehab, but so many of the clients that I work with, I felt that their injury could have been prevented. Their illness could have been prevented. And I just don't think our medical model does a wonderful job about teaching wellness and prevention. So I think I always kind of had this nudge of like, ooh, how do I get there? I think in working in acute care specifically, through kind of those years of experience, I saw two really consistent themes in recovery. The first one was that the clients that thought that they would get better would get better, right? They had a really positive mindset. People that were told they would never walk again would walk again. Individuals who had a stroke and couldn't use their hand, the power of positive mindset, neuroplasticity, repetition, we would work on handwriting. Like there was something that I saw that the people that believed they would get better would get better. So positive mindset was the first theme. The second was that there was such a strong connection that physical pain can manifest from emotional wounds. And I would see that consistently. And that if we gave the time and space to listen to them, be a space holder, to truly connect with them, or work on nervous system regulation or breathing, or just empathetically listen, that their pain would get better. And I was just really fascinated by that mind-body connection. But I didn't really know how to go deeper. And at the same time, I was kind of going through my own challenges personally and physically. So it was around that time I started to do a lot of soul searching, a lot of yoga, a lot of meditation. That's when I found Reiki. And then I just had this feeling of, oh my God, this is what I'm meant to do. And also, why isn't this common knowledge? Just because it was like just profoundly beneficial. So when I started really experiencing my own results, I think I just felt obligated to share it.
I love that this sort of motivation from you, or this inspiration from you, is coming from your own personal experiences, right? That's, I think, when it's most authentic, and that's when you can bring it to your clients in the most authentic way. You talked about that intuitive nudge, and I think a few of our listeners can probably relate to that. What steps did you take to, I don't know, to nurture that nudge, to allow that nudge to grow, right? Or to not allow fear to kind of allow that nudge to fizzle away.
I love that question so much because the chapter that I wrote about in my book was kind of the steps that I took to get there. And so it's called Mama's Gotta Slow in Order to Grow. And it was really slowing down. It truly was slowing down. So this, I don't know if you agree or have heard this, but like the universe will give you whispers, and if you don't listen, it'll kind of like pound you on the head. And I think that was happening. I think I was just like going. I've actually never told the story, so this will be interesting. But what happened was I was going, ignoring the signs, and I ended up breaking my arm. So I was forced to take time off from work, and that really, so I couldn't work out, I couldn't go to work. I just had all this downtime, and my coping skill has always been to go, just push through. So when the universe handed me this opportunity to slow down, I really just did not know what to do with myself. So I started doing gentle yoga and sitting in meditation and kind of just asking a lot of those soul questions. And what came to me was Reiki. Reiki kind of intuitively came to me. So I went for my own healing session, and it was kind of that was the catalyst of everything thereafter. But I think it started, so to break it into steps, it really just was waking up, sitting in meditation, journaling, and I'm inclined to write. So I feel like sometimes when I suggest journaling to other people, it's not always received if it's not something that people are used to doing, but you can truly find out quite a bit about yourself through the power of journaling.
Yes, I agree. But I also hear what you're saying that, whatever mode it is that works for you to allow you to reflect, right? To allow for you to sort of do a little introspection and that means definitely slowing down in order for that to happen or to allow for that to happen. So great. Thanks for sharing that with us. I know that there's this nudge that comes up, right? Or sometimes people call it an itch, whatever you want to call it. And what do you do, right? Do you scratch it? How do you, what do you do? And thanks for sharing with us, sort of the process and kind of your what helped you, really identify that, this is it, you tried it yourself. What was the path that you took in order to get there?
So around that time, fortunately, so there was a logical step. I didn't just go from like full-time OT to like woo-woo practitioner, so around that time, so I spent 5 years in inpatient, 5 years in outpatient, all with the same company. And then I kind of started to get that itch, like it was time for a change, something like I knew it was the next step. And I was fortunate enough to get a contract job at Bay Path University, which up here in the Northeast in Massachusetts.
I know the school.
Oh, wonderful. So my role as an adjunct professor was in an emerging practice area, which was holistic OT. So it was like divine perfect timing that I was like on my own path of discovering this, and then I was teaching holistic OT.
I
So it
love
was around,
it.
it was perfect.
I love that Bay Path even offers that as the course.
So that was about 3 years ago that I was working there, and I think it had already been in practice for 1 to 2 years. So it was then that I was introduced to Emmy Vadnais. Her work, she's the original holistic OT, so we should definitely give her credit in the show notes.
Yes, I love her. I've actually participated in one of her coaching groups as a
Wonderful.
holistic OT myself, and really just felt, I benefited from it so much. So we definitely want to give her kudos for the work that she does. She has definitely
Totally.
encouraged me to explore holistic work as an OT, and really felt, I felt more comfortable finding her community.
Absolutely. It's such a wonderful community. It was just timely being introduced. She had researched all these modalities, and she talked about Reiki and meditation, intuitive development, emotional freedom technique. And as I mentioned, I was already kind of fascinated in this mind-body connection. And so what I was learning and teaching in the holistic OT field, I was still bringing back to my outpatient location as a concussion therapist. And it
Yes.
was like all the dots connected. And I was like, oh my God, but everybody can benefit from this. These breathing techniques, this relaxation, this nervous system regulation. And then my results with those clients were just immediate and profound. So yeah, that was kind of that stepping
Step,
stone, was that I
yes.
got to work. I was emerged embodying the whole holistic OT, and then joining Emmy's holistic OT community, and taking probably the course that you did as well, it just kind of skyrocketed my confidence in, oh wait, we can actually be entrepreneurs and OTs.
I love it.
So
And
I'm still juggling the two jobs, but who knows where this will go, if I'll be a full-time holistic OT or if I'll continue to wear both hats.
well, it sounds to me that you're enjoying both hats and that you kind of like to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I, personally, I want to congratulate you on being able to, kind of have a nice happy middle, just the it's the you're you sound very professionally satisfied in your work,
Thank you.
and you're the work that you're bringing is also work that you feel super passionate about from, you know, just your personal experiences with it, which brings it to another level. So I love the, yeah, I could totally hear the passion and, yeah, just the commitment in your voice and the service that you're providing to your clients. So I congratulate you on finding that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So thanks for sharing with us the path, right? I think that's always a big question for a lot of our listeners is, again, how does one make the leap, right? And again, in your case, you talked about doing it on a part-time level and how you're doing a little bit of both and actually filling your cup that way.
Yes.
Both cups. Can you talk to us a little bit about, and you know, you choose which setting you want to talk about, or if you want to talk about all of them, but what would be a typical session in your setting? Who would be your typical client and what would be your typical goals?
Yeah, I can speak to both. A typical day in the concussion clinic is seeing 12 to 15 people a day. One-on-one, 30 to 60 minutes, depending on their need. Interventions range from, as I mentioned, kind of nervous system regulation, a lot of vision therapy after concussion, cognitive interventions, of course, pain relief modalities, and really lots of education, both on concussion in general, also just ways to improve memory, concentration, attention skills.
You talked about working on a lot of IADLs.
Yes, absolutely. And kind of just, I find they have a hard time with just basic structure. You know, now they're out of work and their routines are all out of whack. And sometimes just kind of solidifying what I call their bookends, you know, morning routine and evening routine. And kind of setting goals for what they need to accomplish. And kind of just having the regulation to, you know, if they wake up with a headache, knowing their triggers and what can they do to better their symptoms.
And I bet there's a lot of education too.
There is ongoing education. And then with the memory issues, sometimes it's re-educating and just kind of checking in and really just being a support system. And I find... oftentimes in this concussion clinic that I work in, primarily they're multi-trauma and motor vehicle accidents. So it really brings up, if they had, this is very traumatic being in a car accident. And I find, because you're kind of that safe space for them as well, especially if you have an hour with somebody one-on-one, that it brings up a lot of past trauma. And it just kind of, we work a lot on anxiety and coping skills. So the sessions are very individualized, client-centered as to what kind of they feel like they need in the moment.
Yes. Well, thank you for giving us those great examples.
Yeah, of course. And then I would say environmental modifications, you know, dimming. And just teaching that too, like what does it mean to be sensory sensitive or overstimulated and how to kind of manage that for them.
Yes. And that's probably where a lot of your holistic practitioner skills come into play when it comes to grounding and helping people really regulate their nervous systems.
Absolutely. So beneficial. And it's something I felt like I was kind of missing those skills, even like the first year that I worked there. And now it's like where I start with everybody. So it's super beneficial. And then, you know, switching gears kind of on my Mondays and Fridays when I work, as a Reiki practitioner, it's one-on-one Reiki sessions, energy healing, chakra balancing, kind of deep diving, peeling back those layers, kind of root cause, like where could you be storing old emotional wounds that are now blocking you now? So I'm a space holder. You know, my goal for every session is just that my client feels heard, understood, and deeply cared for.
Yes. Are your Reiki sessions done in person?
They are. Yes. Fortunately, now, you know, it kind of could change. But I have been doing in person. I do offer distance Reiki as well. But most of the time I'm in session. When I'm working with coaching clients, that's via Zoom, and they always option to add in an in-person Reiki session. But I would say primarily I'm in person.
Okay, got it. Now, can you tell us a little bit about how you charge for your services? Whether you
Sure.
accept insurances, I'm not sure how services are billed for at the concussion clinic.
Sure. Concussion clinic. We do all major insurances, all private insurances, Medicare, Medicaid, hardly any private pay there, all funded by insurance. And then in my Reiki practice, just cash services. I would love to eventually extend it to insurance companies, but there's a lot of hoops to jump through right now.
Are you able to secure referrals easily for your Reiki practice?
I've been super fortunate with word of mouth referrals. Have never done any online advertising, and I stay pretty busy. So that's been wonderful. I haven't gone to any doctor's offices. It's truly been word of mouth, and I just feel so grateful for that. I'm sure eventually it will come, to a place where I need to do a little advertising, but
But that's wonderful. Again, that's also something that I think our listeners are very much interested in learning about. Where do you get your clients, right? How do you get your referral? So you get word of mouth from clients whom you've worked with before.
I started very organically working on friends and family members just as really practice and kind of let know what Reiki is and what I do.
Yes.
And then through their own healing or experiences, they told a couple people and they told a couple people and their friends told their friends. And so far it's been working out.
Oh, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And maybe that's a good segue into my next question here, but can you share with us some recent successes or highs and some recent challenges or lows that you've had in relation to both of your uncommon OT roles?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start with the highs. So let's see. In the concussion clinic, it's called Team Rehab, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. After about 3 years of being a solo practitioner, I was able to hire two more OTs, one of which was actually my previous student. So that was
Oh,
really
awesome.
Another high, I guess related to traditional OT, was I actually joined the NBC OT volunteer board last year.
Fantastic.
So that was such a wonderful experience just of meeting other OTs from all over the US. Just a wonderful networking. It kind of just revived my passion again for the field, especially after like pandemic life of not traveling, So that was an
So,
awesome experience.
can you tell us what it means to volunteer as part of the NBCOT board?
Sure. I'm sure there's hundreds of different branches that you can volunteer for, but I'm on the exam development committee. So we help to write some test questions. Yeah.
Fun.
It was fun. It's a lot of hard work. A lot of thinking power goes into it, but
And
it was
how
there.
much? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
I was going to ask what are the volunteer time commitments?
We were in Tampa for 3 days.
Oh, so you actually try. So
It's a travel.
okay. So it's
Yep.
kind of like a I don't know, it's almost like a little conference.
Yeah, it was great.
Incredible. Well, I'd love to hear more about that at another time, but we will include some information on that on our show notes just in case folks are interested, because I think it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was a great
But
opportunity.
go ahead, continue with the successes and some of the challenges that you've had recently.
Okay, so those were definitely some highs. Some challenges in the outpatient setting, I would say, are sure this is a common response, just dealing with insurance companies and kind of justifying therapy visits, dealing with denials and all that
The
extra
usual
stuff, the usual.
schmoozual.
So the highs, in my energy work, I think I just kind of touched on it. It's just you can go so much deeper. The connections are so wonderful, and just to experience another person healing, truly healing, like from the inside out, and seeing their potential, and just seeing their kind of like their light come back, is just so rewarding. So, and there's challenges that come with having your own business, as well. I'm sure, like many of us OT practitioners, I mean, I didn't get a lot of business ed education in school, maybe a class or two, right? I think I have like a book. And as much as I love learning, it's a lot to do on your own. My overhead is small here. I have my office that I pay for. I have like my website that I host, but I'm doing pretty good, but organically growing. But about, I think 2 or 3 years ago, prior to me starting this, I was starting my own business as a private OT practitioner. And it's just incredibly hard. It's hard to find the referrals, like you mentioned. It's hard to do your own marketing and billing and scheduling. So unfortunately, it didn't work out, me being like a private OT practitioner, although it opened me up to other avenues and I learned a bunch on the way, but it's definitely a challenge. Like, I would love to talk to other, successful OT practitioners that are independent and just see what went into it because it's a challenge.
Yes, I love that this has come up, and that you're just being very transparent about the fact that you tried starting a business as an OT and it was so much more challenging than starting a business. I mean, you are still an OT, but it's just not a strictly OT business.
Sure. Yeah, I found it really difficult with insurance companies, and if they say no in my concussion clinic, I have a whole billing team of people that can kind of do that work for me, while I'm seeing clients and getting paid. And when you are your own practitioner, like you have to make those calls, and it's just a lot of unpaid work.
Yes, I hear you. And thanks for again sharing that, because that's just the reality, and that's again important, right? That's a choice that you made in terms of how to run your business, and I think it's important for our listeners to know that it's certainly an option.
Yeah,
Right.
absolutely.
I'm curious though, and I think that there's so many amazing OTs out there, sort of like who are more research minded, who also try to build on information, right? To build on knowledge out there and evidence to really support the insurance companies hopefully paying for these services over time. Is that something that you've ever considered? I know you talked about working with students at the concussion clinic, but perhaps partnering with a university to not sure send an OTD student over to help gather data, information about your Reiki practice and how that kind of applies to OT and
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't thought of that, but
and I'm not even sure if that's
you're
possible.
an
But I've heard in other settings that that's been done, and I think just in terms of everything that you've said about how impactful your I call Reiki sort of as an extra tool, right? An extra tool that we have in our belt. How much more impactful your treatment, your services, your offerings were when coupled with that energy work that you're doing. So I don't understand why that can't, be applied to many other facets, right? Or many other goals or many other areas where we can bill for individuals. We
Absolutely.
are holistic practitioners just by trade and by training. This is something that we should always be incorporating. We shouldn't even have to justify, right? So, but because
Agree.
we do, I wonder if we could employ or, just sort of recruit the assistance of students who are also looking for, I find that just in my work recently, I'm coming across a lot of students who are looking for areas to research, right? Areas to devote their capstone projects towards?
Send them my way. We talked about Emmy Vadnais and doing her holistic course. So I had gotten more confident in incorporating like emotional freedom technique and aromatherapy and just general, 478 breathing and relaxation techniques. I still kind of am hesitant to bring Reiki into my like traditional OT sessions, although it's funny too, because like you can't turn it on and off, right? Like I'm a Reiki practitioner, I can kind of tell. it's becoming more mainstream, but I love the idea of an OT doctorate student kind of like supporting that research and helping kind of bridge the gap a little bit.
So, can you talk us through a typical Reiki session for some of our listeners who may not be too familiar with Reiki?
Yes, I would love to. So Reiki, for those who are not familiar, is universal life force energy. It's an ancient Japanese healing technique. It's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so kind of when somebody comes in, I go through a general intake as to what, how did they find me? What are they looking for? Because some people just don't even know. They heard that it could help them with general stress relief. Some people are looking for a little spiritual development. Others are looking for physical pain relief or to sleep better. So I kind of just like to get an understanding of what their goals are for the session. So just a little, 5, 10 minute intake, and then I'll explain the Reiki process and how it works. And I'll have somebody usually start face up, and I kind of really get in my Zen zone, and I clean the space, and I use crystals if they're open to that. And I work with sound healing too. So I kind of have a curated playlist. So they're getting like all this multi-sensory, experience. And then as an intuitive healer, I realized over time that I kind of work best in my meditative Zen space. So if something is coming up for them during the session, I certainly encourage them to ask and I'll talk. But traditionally, I kind of just stay in my zone. I hover my hands over different areas. And I kind of pick up on where they might be having some energetic blocks. And I stay there until I feel like they're a little more balanced. So that kind of goes on for about 45 minutes, and then I'll kind of gently guide them, and then we'll have like a 15, 20 minute recap on what came up for them, what experiences did they have, and then I'll share if they're open to kind of what intuitively came through for me. And usually it deeply resonates, and that kind of opens up a conversation as to, well, where can I go from here?
Got it.
So it's kind of a nice, energy healing Zen, but a coaching component as well.
And for how many sessions do you typically meet with your clients?
I would say it's pretty individual. Rarely is somebody kind of a one and done, unless they're just coming for that general relaxation and they wanted an hour. I feel like Reiki works best when you come consistently. So some people come once a week for 3 weeks and then really they're feeling great and they start to space it out. Others come biweekly. They really just kind of enjoy the relaxation and with each session, we really, it's like an onion, you really just start to peel back the layers. And then other people I kind of just see more routinely, like once every 3 months. So it's pretty individual on how open to healing that person is.
Yes, kind of like when you're working as an OT in a typical setting.
Absolutely.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about how do you stay on top of your work? I know you wear a few different hats, but how do you stay on top of all of those hats?
Oh, I'm a nerd. I love learning anyway. I love reading. I love learning. I really get in deep to the topics I'm interested in that moment. But in my concussion role, as a brain injury specialist, I need a certain amount of CEUs every year. And I love MedBridge. I don't know if you use that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So that's my go-to for my continuing education and quick evidence-based practice knowledge. In my holistic field, I'm part of the holistic OT community. I'm part of a light workers community, and I feel like those groups kind of are just constant information sharing as well with
Yes,
research backed up.
we're gonna include those in our show notes too, just so our listeners can have access to it. Do you have any career advice for our followers in terms of how to, just to branch into the uncommon work that you do?
A piece of advice I would share would be follow that intuitive nudge or your interests. You know, like I mentioned before, you don't have to see the whole staircase. You just have to take the first step. I think that's how we keep our careers interesting and prevent burnout, is just staying with what brings us joy and constantly learning.
But I love that. And, that totally resonates with me too, being in an OT for quite a few years now, right? And really kind of doing a different type of OT lately, and how that can really spice things up and, shake things up a little bit, and at the same time, excite you and really bring, sort of like a fresh sense of motivation in your practice.
Definitely. And I'll add to that too, is just finding a mentor or somebody that's just a couple steps ahead of you that's already doing, you know, what you think you're interested in doing, and see if you can hang out or go shadow or reach out. You know, we live in this social media world that this is how we connected, you know. It's just a little
Yes.
thing that you can see what other people are doing, and you know, don't discount kind of what lights you up inside. You know, keep following that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's through those connections, right? It doesn't even have to be such an official, relationship. It could really just be a conversation. And that's exactly what we're trying to illustrate here in these podcasts, is that we're having these conversations and how much you and I both learn from them.
From each other. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
wonderful.
So I love that. Are there any common myths or misconceptions that you'd like to demystify today about the work that you do?
Oh my goodness, so many misconceptions with OT, right? The first one that popped in my mind was we don't just work on hands or
Yes.
physical jobs, you know. I don't know if it's so much a misconception or just a lack of knowledge, although it's becoming more mainstream, just that what Reiki is and how it can help people, you know. I mentioned it's a Japanese ancient energy healing technique that works by breaking up energetic blocks just to promote more balance and harmony in mind, body, and spirit. So I think I'm just really excited about that being more common knowledge, and not so kind of like woo-woo, right?
Yes.
I think holistic is kind of still in that, like, is it reimbursable? You know, I think that would be another one to add, is that I even had this misconception working in outpatient, is that, oh, I can't do that because I don't know how I would bill for it. And there's a way, you know, there it's neuro re-education, it's a therapeutic activity. So there's a way. So I would say, rather than just discount it off the bat, find out how you can bill for those, you know, non-traditional services, because they're so beneficial.
Yes, and really, I think the key is connecting it to how it improves function or how it supports the rest of the other treatment or interventions that this individual might be getting. And again,
Yes.
coming from the holistic place where OTs are coming from,
Yeah.
right? It
Yep.
should almost be natural.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, how this is going to improve their function, how their ADLs will be easier because their pain has been decreased, the emotional regulation that it's assisted with, so now they can care for their children. You know,
Yes,
it's creative writing, right?
it really is. And I love that you have the neuro background too. And you're really basically telling us that the neuro work that you've been doing all of these years, you're finding is much more effective when supported with the Reiki work that you're doing, or the energy work that you're coupling it with.
Yes, definitely. It's exciting to see all the puzzle pieces come together.
Yes, and I'm excited for you to to find again that nice blend of both, right? You have these two amazing, very specialized skills that you're blending in, and as an OT, you're providing your service out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for allowing me to share these passions with the world. I really appreciate you.
Well, there's so many others out there who share these same passions, who would be so inspired and motivated just hearing you talk about your path, how you realistically got to where you are today. So thank you for sharing your story. If our listeners wanted to be in touch, follow you, find you, how do we do so?
Oh, thanks. Well, my website is www.healthyholistichappy.com.
We will list all of that on our show notes. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners, Lisa, about your Uncommon OT work? I keep saying Uncommon OT work because you have a couple.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. Again, thank you for sharing the books and my many passions. And I just want to be really open and transparent that I love having these conversations. So if anybody is interested or kind of on that path or has any questions, that they're more than welcome to reach out to me, either email or on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Lisa. That is so very much appreciated. I'm sure folks will take you up on that. And again, you know, to our listeners, it's all it takes sometimes is a conversation, right? To kind of help guide you to the right path. So here you have an open invitation from Lisa Kern, amazing holistic occupational therapist. Thank you, Lisa, for spending the time with us today and sharing with us your story.
Oh, thank you, Patricia, so much for having me. I appreciate you.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of Uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, Uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.